So that feels very relative here. Like if you're only feeling negative, 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 that's where it's going to go. It's all going to go.
Just quick little psychology pieces to this.
Yeah, shut up.
Yeah, be quiet. I've got some stuff. No, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. You just mansplained it back to me. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
Bean, have you ever wondered, why do good or bad things seem to come in bunches?
All the time.
Today, we're going to answer that question. What up, my friend?
What up, homie?
We just had the best bean therapy session before we started recording. We solved all the world's problems, guys. You'll be happy to know all of the problems are solved.
You're welcome.
All is well. You're welcome.
It's the magic of the Signal podcast. I don't know how else to explain it, but we're all healed. We healed all of you.
It's the magic of the beans. I'm telling you guys, if you take nothing else away, if you just stop listening after I say this, call someone who really gets you today and just talk to them about one thing that you're struggling with.
Yep.
And I swear it's going to change your life.
100%. Even just saying it out loud is like, here we go. I said it.
And having your friend be like, that's true. That's right. That's all you need.
Like, I'm sorry. That sounds really hard. I'm like, yeah, that is really hard. Thanks for noticing.
Correct. Well, Bean, what's up? How's your day? How's your week? You got anything?
Nothing. I'm a brunette now.
You're a brunette and we love it. We are loving it.
I got rid of all my blonde for winter time and I'm a cozy little brown bear and I'm ready for sweaters and scarves and hot cocoa.
I can't. I don't know who you are, but I'm not into this. All right. It's time for hotter hype. And this one may not be so wellness trendy. It's going to seem like a really macro thing, but I do think that it is something that's super relevant today. And it is about hope, which, by the way, is being called Hopecore on Instagram and TikTok, which I love. And it really started to see a resurgence of this after that super duper blue wave Tuesday in November 4th, where we saw Mamdani win New York City. We saw two female governors of Virginia and New Jersey. We saw California say hell yes to Prop 50. And people are starting to let the hope creep back in. And there is a little bit of a debate about whether that is jumping the gun, whether that's okay. Is it safe? What do we do? Can we hope? Should we be happy? So we're going to hot or hype the concept of hope right now. Listen, this isn't going to be a long one. I think that it is no mistake or no surprise that all of us are feeling really fucking exhausted and terrified and worried about the world. And we are seeing like the dredges of humanity being played out in front of our face constantly with our president. It's hard to even say that word, and all of his minions who have no courage or belief in humanity. And I think, like, you know, it's one thing to get all stressed out about tariffs and worry about prices rising. And then it's a whole other thing to see armed agents running into schools and arresting teachers, who, by the way, most of which are U.S. citizens. And then it's another whole thing to see SNAP benefits being removed from people who now cannot access food.
No, and I don't feel hopeful by anything you're saying now. Jesus Christ. So I need a little hope core in my life.
My point is, I think we sort of resigned ourselves. It's been a hard fucking year in this country, in the United States of America, and in other places in the world, obviously. But I think that what I'm starting to see peek out in social media is like a little bit of hope again, a little bit of joy, a little bit of lightness, a little bit of, oh my God, what could this be? When we actually care about each other and we see leaders who are speaking up for human beings and not for corporations. And the case for hope, from my perspective, is actually, you know what? It really does tie into our episode. I just put that together. But is that amazing? If we allow ourselves that, then maybe more good rushes in. And the case against it is, you know, we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. We have been, you know, when you've been like starved for water, you're walking through the desert and you see a mirage and you're going to ready to dive into that oasis. You know, the fear is there that we are like prematurely diving towards a mirage that's not true or real.
Right.
And that we should be more vigilant or remain attached to the disappointment and the fear in some way so that we don't get further disappointed. So my question for you is, hope in this moment of our country and turning towards hope, do you feel hot about that, or is that premature hype?
I'm going to feel super hot about it. During that moment of the week of November 4th, I felt hopeful again for the first time. It only actually illuminated or highlighted how much it had been lacking in my life. I had become so accustomed to misery and disappointment in our country and in the world right now that I turned off that ability to even feel hopeful, I think, and have that little tiny flicker there was beautiful. Like, why not cuddle up to that tiny little flame? Why not? The only thing I wish it could have not been as winter is coming in when I'm ready to go into the dungeon and hibernate. I wish it was like happening, right? You know, when spring comes on the East Coast and it's been cold mm-hmm. all winter and then things are blooming and you can go for a walk without a coat and the sun is shining and you're like, God damn, I can do anything right now. That's how I felt that week. And I was like, just hoping it had happened in the spring. And I think it would have changed everything. But I'm going to say, yes, why not? Like, even it's not a mirage. What happened is not a mirage. What happened was actually good. Felt hopeful, and it may not last, but why not attach to it while it's there? I'm super hot for it.
I'm super hot for it too, y'all. And I do think that I felt hopeful in people again.
Yes.
I felt hopeful in the way people voted.
Yes.
I felt like, oh, I was so scared for the whole year that I was surrounded by people that didn't give a shit about one another.
Right.
And that's what was breaking my heart. And to see people vote, use their vote to be like, no, 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 no. We're not going to go hunting kids down because they look Hispanic and their parents. We're not going to be taking food off of people's plates. That for me, the hope is in humanity, and I am very hot for it, because if we can continue to see each other that way, we will lift each other up in that way, and we'll see more and more of it. We'll be more inspired to act that way. So I say hope all the way, and thank God for people who are stepping up and saying the things that others were too afraid to say.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have to say Mamdani winning in New York City is such an example of like, just say what you think and mean it. And people see that, even if it's controversial.
Love will prevail, hopefully. Even here, I live in one of the most divided counties in the whole country, in Bucks County, PA.
I saw that. And Bucks County went blue.
And we really, I mean, which made me feel, honestly, like I'd go into the supermarket daily and be like, what do you think?
Who are
you? How do you feel about the world? And I just, I really, truly felt like more isolated and less trustful of those around me. And now it feels lighter here, like the school board, everything just feels a little lighter. And I'm going to run with that as long as I can.
Yeah. All right. So we're hot on hope, friends.
Hot on hope.
Are you ready for our main topic? This was one of those me texting you out of the blue and being like, Bean, do you ever wonder why good things or bad things come in clusters? And then you were like, what's wrong? And I was like, no, it was almost a puff, puff, pass moment. I was not high. I was driving. And I was like, I wonder why things happen like this. So we decided to satiate our curiosity through this episode and ask ourselves and maybe get an answer. Where we all experience these stretches where everything seems to be going all right or all wrong all at once. And it's like life's algorithm changed suddenly. Right? Like, it's like, I was in one algorithm and now all of a sudden things are happening in bunches that are not good.
Right.
So I don't know. I was just wondering if you could think of anything for you that has felt like that recently, whether it's like a series of, oh, wow, look how lucky I am. Or, oh, why is it still rain? Why is this cloud still on top of my head?
It's feeling a little more like, why is this cloud still on top of my head? It's just been going on. I have a lot of personal things going on in my life right now. When you're already down, this, I think the smaller moments that come along that feel, which is probably why I'm like so attaching to the hope core, the smaller moments almost are like magnified, the small shitty moments when you're already feeling down. It's like, don't kick me while I'm down, universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give the opposite so I can add a little hope into the, I have been noticing, this happens a lot in two ways for me. Clients, corporate clients come in clusters for me. Like, you know, whether it's like a bunch of crisis clients at the same time or a bunch of corporate workshops, they seem to, we're going to talk about it. But what I've been noticing lately, and you'll see it in your inbox because I've been forwarding it to you, is put all this time and effort and money into a publicist and like trying to, you know, get my message out there and have them book. And sometimes no matter how much they push, nothing happens. And I'm on a break from doing that right now. And I got 3 invitations in a row this week to either show up and give a talk or be on someone's podcast who has like 1 million listeners out of nowhere. Oh, bless you. Bless you. You know that
sneezes come in threes? Uh-oh.
One more.
Sneezing on the truth is what I'm doing. That's what my grandmother says.
My grandmother used to say that if you sneeze once and you're about to do something, it means you have to wait. Sabrumad means like a wait has occurred. And then if you sneeze again, it's like, okay, unpause.
Oh, so, really?
I don't know if you just paused us and unpaused us and paused us again. If it's three,
well, we have to. I'm going with Bubby, and she says sneeze on the truth, which means all these good things are coming your way.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just noticed that this week I was like, what just happened? It was like a doorway just opened out of nowhere. Like one, okay, fine, random, but why 3 in a row? It's very hard to understand. So that's my example. And I think that there are a couple ways to look at it. So I'm going to give us 3. There's the psychological way of understanding why this actually happens. Why is our brain detecting it in this way? There are, myths and culture and religion that affect the way we think about stuff like this. And then there's a spiritual, obviously, I'm going to give you a spiritual slant to it. So
super sexy.
Let's start with the psychology, shall we?
Please.
Okay. So there's a scientific reason that we see all things as good or bad simultaneously.
I love science.
Put your lab coats on, friends. And it's just simply that our brains are wired to find patterns. Especially under emotional stress. And this is just our brain's evolutionary way of keeping us alive. Because if you can detect patterns, you're more likely to be prepared for them.
Right.
Psychologists call this apophenia, which is perceiving connections or patterns between unrelated things. Everyday examples like thinking bad things happen in threes because we mentally cluster events to make chaos feel organized. Because otherwise it feels frightening and uncertain. So that's one way to think about it, is we're trying to organize, like if you think, oh, all the bad stuff is happening at once, one way of looking at it is, no, your brain's just trying to categorize it so that you can feel like there's some control over it rather than randomness, because randomness is so psychologically disturbing. The other is confirmation bias, which is like once we notice a streak in something, we subconsciously look for evidence to confirm it. Remember, I always say, if you engage in my work, if you believe it, then it's true. So, and also if you're going to look for evidence, you're going to find it. So you might as well look for evidence of life working out in your favor, because if you look for evidence of life not working out in your favor, you'll find it. And so this is part of the psychological part of clusters, which is that if a bad thing happens, your brain tags it as the start of a pattern, and then you're looking for evidence of that next bad thing so that you can add to this bad bunch narrative. Same thing with positive stuff. Like your brain will tag, oh, wow, I didn't expect that. How great. Maybe things are working out, and you start to look for evidence that things are working out, and you find more of it.
Show me. Well,
but this is what I'm saying. It's all happening simultaneously.
Right.
It's just wherever your focus is, that is the part that is most relevant, present, expanded in your life. And I think like That is the takeaway, y'all, that it's all happening everything everywhere all at once. But we are, our brains are really trained to keep us alive, and anxiety and threat detection is a part of that. So wherever we are focusing, we're going to cluster those things and create a narrative and a story about what's actually happening in our lives. Doesn't mean, listen, that there's not hard times. Like you just talked about, you're going through a hard time right now, and a lot of that is hard. And yet there's a lot of beauty happening in your life too. And it's hard when you're going through something really painful see the beautiful.
Right. Where is
it? I'm staring at you in the face right now, asshole.
My bestest friend. You're totally right. You used to say something. I can't remember. It was something like your something goes where something flows that I was just reminded of.
Energy goes where, energy flows where attention goes.
Right. So that feels very relative here. Like if you're only feeling negative, 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 that's where it's going to go. It's all going to go to the negative.
Yeah. Two other just quick little psychology pieces to this.
You're like, shut up.
Yeah. Be quiet. I've got some stuff. No, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. You just mansplained it back to me. Emotional attention bias is just basically our moods are filtering our perception. So when you're anxious, the amygdala in the brain, which is the threat detection center, is going to see more negative. When you're elated, actually dopamine boosts pattern recognition for rewarding stimuli. So if you're happy, the dopamine is looking for the positive aspects. When you're anxious, the amygdala is looking for the threat. So your mood Dopamine seeks dopamine. So this creates what scientists call selective salience. You literally tune your perception to match your emotional state. And then there's the momentum effect, which is basically behavioral science showing that success breeds success because confidence influences behavior. So when you have positive momentum, you start to be like, yeah, I'm the shit. You see this, listen, do not hang up on me, but you see this in sports a lot, where if a player is on a streak, then they continue on that streak because that confidence is there.
No, I think that was a good example. I'm not going to hang up because I actually think that was a very relatable example.
Okay, good. This happens with our quarterback at the Ravens all the time where we're watching and it's like, you're in your head. You're in your head. Yeah. And now this game is going to suck. So in life, when things go well, you move into life with more openness and generosity and action, which just increases the likelihood of good outcomes. And that's how you see these clusters happen.
How do we make the shift? How do we shift from the negative to the positive?
Where your attention goes, energy flows. Right. I mean, that's just something to meditate on. Have you ever talked yourself into a negative streak that later turned out to be nothing?
Talked myself into it?
Yes.
Like all these bad things are happening?
Yes. Bad thing happened, so a bunch of bad things are going to happen. Like you talk yourself up into it and then that ain't going to be the way it goes.
I mean, probably. I feel like more than anything, like a bad streak just eventually ends and you're like, okay. That's the last fucking thing I can tolerate. Maybe that's what it is. Your brain is like, I can't tolerate this any longer. So it starts seeking the positive.
That's true. Yeah. I definitely do that where it's like, I get disappointed and I talk myself into a negative streak. Like this is all going to fail now.
No.
And then I get delightfully surprised every time.
That's kind of fun. A delightful surprise is always fun. So be miserable so you can be delightfully surprised, guys.
I don't know which cultures all of y'all are from, but for me, there is a lot of superstition about things happening in bunches and things happening in three. Is there in like Judaism?
I don't think so, but I'm not the best religious Jew. I'm just a really good cultural Jew. I don't know.
That's what I meant culturally, like how your bubby said the sneezing thing.
Oh, the sneezing is just sneezing on the truth.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of anything.
We have a saying in Farsi, tase nashe bazi nashe, which means until it doesn't happen. Tase nashe bazi nashe, which literally translates to until there's three, the game isn't done. So like, does that make sense? I know I translated it literally, like, but you're waiting for the third thing.
It has to be three. Okay.
And then the game is done, whatever the game is, like whatever pattern. Right. So
the game is
I grew up with that saying and I definitely look for threes, which goes back to the psychology of like, if I'm looking for threes, then I'll find the threes in anything. in ancient Greek, they personified luck through the goddess Taichi and her Wheel of Fortune. And they wrote a lot about how, like, the Wheel of Fortune turns in your favor, and that happens in clusters, right? Like, the Wheel of Fortune is in your favor or it's not. And so they took this maybe very psychological thing and created a mythology around it, which is what I think is so amazing about human beings, because then we create these beliefs that we all believe in. Karma is another example of this, you know, in Buddhism and Taoism, viewing life as yin and yang and things coming in flow of pairs. And again, I think that this is a spiritual or a cultural explanation of something that the brain is doing that just feels a little bit easier to understand.
And I also think in terms of the yin and yang, it shows you that both are necessary, so that even when it's bad, it's to only make room or to whatever, to highlight how good something is later.
Yeah, totally. I thought this was interesting. Well, then we have in Western superstitions linked to Christianity's symbolic number three, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Bad things happen in threes. That notion comes from Christianity. Or when it rains, it pours is actually an ad slogan from the 1900s that's now become shorthand for misfortune.
Oh, how snappy.
I know. I thought this was interesting when I was doing this research. Sociologists note that we experience events in temporal clusters because of how modern life is structured. So deadlines, tax season, bills, job cycles, like modern life is structured in deadlines and certain moments in time that we are all on the same timeline around, like the end of the month maybe is like when the mortgage is due,
right?
Or April, tax season. We are.
Is this to say that folk from back in the day didn't experience this? People who didn't have bills and timelines and deadlines? And
right, that their clusters may have been around other sociological things, like that had to do with their society. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Isn't it fascinating that across time humans had to believe in something behind these waves?
Otherwise, the bad times would just be unbearable. You have to like maintain some hope or like some purpose through it. To know that so you can survive it.
Yeah, so true. What's more comforting to you, randomness or this kind of divine timing cluster theory?
What's more comforting or what do I believe?
What's more comforting?
Divine timing. I mean, knowing that there's some purpose to it all feels safer. Like that it's all meant to be this way feels much safer to me. I don't know if I believe it, but it feels much safer that way.
I'm more comforted by it, and I definitely, absolutely believe it.
Yeah.
Okay, so shall we go down the spiritual path before we leave this?
But of course. Topic?
All right, so there's a few things where, you know, energy and intuition and spirituality offer a slightly different lens on this cluster theory. One is called energy entrainment. So in physics and metaphysics, entrainment means that frequencies sync when in close contact. Pendulums swing together. People's heartbeats align when they're connected. Emotionally, when your energy changes, whether it's joy or grief or clarity or confidence, it resonates outward, attracting experiences that match your state. So from an energetic standpoint, you know, or metaphysical standpoint, there is something happening where we notice that frequencies are sinking, right? We talked about this when we talked about that study where they put those detectors, do you remember, around the world, and they started going off right before 9/11?
It was the collective consciousness episode.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Good memory. Yeah. So frequencies align. And so if frequencies are aligning, and again, going back to what we were talking about, like your frequency is at a more open, responsive level, then you're magnetizing things to that frequency. And that is what physics is actually proven.
That's what I believe. That's what I think is happening. That's your energy flows goes where your flows goes. Yep. That's that thing.
You should get that tattoo so that you just know it. You can look
your
at
flows
your
flows goes where like, the energy knows goes. Goes.
You know, spiritual teachers describe life as a series of energetic cycles. I just had a reading with a shaman who said that there are shamanic death and rebirth that we all go through, and that I'm in clearly the very end of my shamanic death. She said to me, she's like, this is a big one. And most people just want to get in bed and hide in the covers. But you wrote a book and published a book in the middle of it. It's like, oh,
yeah, okay. God, you're that makes me feel a little badass, Bean.
Thank you. She said it's hopefully it's coming to an end, but this shamanic death and rebirth cycle. So if you're in the death phase or the rebirth phase, you might notice more clusters of, oh, this just shit's just not working out. Like I was saying, you hire a publicist, you're doing all these things. Why?
Yeah.
Well, your spirit is in this shamanic death part where it's letting go of stuff. It's not ready to receive new stuff. And so there's the clusters. You might be in.
Am I in the middle too? We're both dying simultaneously.
Caller, find out. And then there's the law of polarity, which is every good contains a seed of its opposite. So after breakthroughs, contraction follows.
Yeah.
And this is just the part of what we were just talking about with yin and yang. And so spiritually, bunches might be appearing because we're balancing the polarity. Expansion, lots of opportunities at once. Contraction, lots of, you know, shitty things at once. But we're in this constant kind of spiritual balancing of the
great. Well, I just need a fucking break. I just need to not be in the middle of it all.
I hear you. And there is something to be said for, you know, I talk about this a lot in my book, The Dark Night of the Soul, which is just going through what feels like an endless, endless dark night where you're just in the middle of this forest being like, when the fuck is the clearing going to happen? And in that, I have seen you transform in front of my eyes and you're right in the middle of it.
Me? So, are you talking to me specifically?
Yeah. Our souls pick these dark nights because they're ready to truly transform. And I've seen it. I've seriously seen you change. And you're not, I know, not even out of it.
And I do want to say that sometimes you can't have your dark soul until you're ready. You can't do it until you're ready to hold it. Because otherwise it will crack you and you won't survive it.
Exactly. All right. So I don't know. What do you think about these bunches now, Bean? I gave you the psychological, the energetic, the cultural bias, the spiritual. Where are you? What are you feeling? What are you feeling drawn to? What's did we make more sense of it?
Yeah, I'm feeling drawn. I honestly entered it with this perspective and I still kind of feel it even after all you said it. It's that it's an energetic situation in a lot of ways and that that's how the religious translations of this or interpretations of this rather, or the, what was the other one? Even the old Egyptian theories, it's all because of this energy that we are vibrating at a certain frequency of negativity or whatever you want to call it. So we're only attracting those things and, or we're only, our brain is only paying attention to those things. Cause there are always, if you always look around, another shout out to my bubby, she just finds joy in, even in shitty times, she's still able to always find some joy. And find some fun. I kind of think we should have my grandmother on this to teach us about finding. She's almost 95 and she just.
Mashallah.
And that she's able to just always somehow keep her energy open enough to be able to see light in even in darkness.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Do you think that these bunches are like more external signs or mirrors of our internal?
I think both. Probably both.
I think so too.
And I think, I guess now that you say it, it's a lot of what's going on inside and what we're feeling. And then that's your energy though, your energy you're putting out. Like, I feel like I'm putting out some shitty ass energy right now. So I'm attracting like all these situations that I'm like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what, actually? Yeah. I mean, I can't believe I didn't say this, but this is a big area where I use my intuition a lot.
Yeah.
Which is really connecting with your intuition around learning to discern between flow and friction times in your life and asking yourself, like, am I meant to push through this or am I meant to just pause and be in the flow and just allow what's happening to happen?
Isn't that sort of the same as pushing through it? Like if you're in the flow, you're moving through. You have to.
No, pushing is I am going to take action. You know, what I mean is like I intuitively am learning how to know when it's time to take action, when there's friction happening in my life versus, nope, this is just happening and you have to let it happen.
Let it ride.
And stop fighting it.
How do you, how do you determine which is which?
Well, for me, you know, I'm listening in constantly. So like I try to get myself to a calm state, get anxiety, just quiet for a second through breathing and just ask, am I meant to push through? Am I meant to do something right now? And I'll get the answer like, nope, you just got to ride it. And sometimes it's, you know what? Go make that call you were afraid of. And that'll help.
It is a lot harder, though, to hear your intuition when you're down.
So hard. Absolutely. Yeah. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Well, Bean, I
know
for sure that you are about to see a lot of good clusters, because I've seen it in my own life. Like, you come out of that dark night of the soul, and then all of a sudden, all of the rewards of pushing through that dark night are there waiting for you. And I'm so excited to celebrate that with you. Thanks. And before we go, we have a listener question.
Yes, please.
And actually, of the questions we get, I picked this one because I felt like it is so in line with sort of our episode. All right. So all the niceties. Thank you so much for listening. Lately, everything in my life feels like it's shifting at the same time. My job, my friendships, my sense of direction. I keep telling myself that change means growth, but it's hard to trust that when everything feels so uncertain. How do I keep listening to my intuition when so many things are changing at once? And how do I tell the difference between intuition and fear when I'm in the middle of chaos? Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's like literally what I was just asking. Like, how do you hear it when you're feeling like nothing makes sense anymore?
Okay, so I should take this one, is what you're saying?
Oh, do you want me to comment? I can drop a comment.
Drop a comment.
It sounds to me, if I had to guess, like she is probably about, or he is probably about our age. And I think that this is a really common occurrence in that. I actually would like to do an episode about shifting the concept of midlife crisis into midlife awakening. That shifting is really just enlightening us, and it's us putting into place things that make us feel better. So it makes everything around you shift, because you start to prioritize yourself again after years of not understanding what you needed. And that's what I'm hearing, that everything around her or him or them is moving. And I want to say, I think that's can be really positive, but I don't know how to handle it. I'm just saying, I think that is a sign of growth.
I agree. I think that's so spot on around moments in life where shifts are happening. So I also hear that if it's all happening all at once, it's probably coming from your own awareness.
Right.
That is causing the friendship to shift, the job to shift, and your sense of direction to shift. I mean, for me, that's like such a sign that spirit is in conversation with you and that you're listening. Mm-hmm. So I would say, pay attention to the part of you that decided to make these shifts. That's the intuitive part.
Yeah.
The part that's reacting to the shifts, that's the fear. And discerning between the two parts helps you understand who's speaking when and when to listen to which one. And know that the part of you that chose to shift your frequency and therefore life is shifting is more centered, is more quiet, is not as frenetic or frantic, is more expanded. So it's not going to feel like pressure in your chest or a pit in your stomach. And pay attention to those signals. That's your intuition.
If
what you're hearing is filled with frenetic energy, makes you feel bad, makes you feel more scared, obviously, but like there's a contraction in your body, that's your fear. And you can just pay attention to that and notice it and know that that is a much younger part of you, and just gently ask, what do you need right now as this change is happening, and give that to yourself. It doesn't mean you have to stop the change because that little self is afraid. It just means you have to pay attention to its needs while the change is going on.
I'm really excited for this listener. It feels like a big evolution is coming for
me
them.
Too. I got excited too. Yeah totally. Yeah. But it's hard to feel that way. It's hard. See, it's like what I was saying about your dark night of the soul. It's hard to feel
that way in it. I personally, as a bystander, am very excited for you, listener.
Exactly. Guys, thank you so much for being with us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please share. Don't forget to email us at maureenmelissa@gmail.com. I always get it wrong. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of Signal. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.